Welcome back to another episode of Sports Castle. I'm Chris.
And I'm Jared.
This week in Newcastle and Hunter, the Eagles swoop for C-grade glory.
Hawks finals prowess comes to the fore.
Woodbury outsmarts students in a clinical display.
Healers come from fourth to outclass the Waratahs.
Third time lucky for Shortland. All that and more in Newcastle and Hunter Sport. All right, mate, we're getting a bit thin on the ground with what's going on. Less and less competitions as we get deeper into September.
Yeah, that's right, mate. The cricket seasons can't come soon enough, I reckon.
But... Oh, you got the JLT Cup. Unfortunately, young local man Jason Sanger hasn't had a start as of yet. He is in the, I think it's a 14-man squad, but hopefully we'll see him late in the competition. I think New South Wales, as we speak, are underway in their second game. So, hopefully one of the later round games as they play. On that, there's plenty of opportunity. I was speaking to our mate Nathan Price the other day, mate. It's a six-team final series.
Everyone gets a go.
Exactly right. So you can get the wooden spoon and win the grand final.
Yeah, it depends what competition. There's a lot of... it's different, obviously, three forms. So, yeah, you can be wooden spooners in one and be premiers in somewhere else. So.
No. That's what I'm saying. You can be wooden spooners in this competition... Finish six after they play their round games in the JLT Cup, and then you're still in the finals.
Yeah, right. Sorry.
Mate, wake up, mate. Come on. I know it's a different night for recording and things, but you're off the ball already.
Too tired from the Diamonds win in Newcastle last night, mate.
Oh, they got on, did they? The floor wasn't too wet?
They got some towels, mate, just in case.
Yeah, mate.
They got through, so happy days.
Did Big Al go along for a look? Loves a bit of women's sport.
Big Al was on child minding duties, mate.
Oh, so you went then?
Yeah, nah. I went along and had a look.
Yeah, lovely. Meanwhile, I was at the NRC, mate. We might touch on that before we get into the business end quickly. Bit of breaking news, obviously, with his relocation to Sydney, our star utility, Louis McGeough, won't be suiting up for the Grasshoppers, unfortunately, this season. But he's moving up in the world, mate. He's telling me last night he's signed up for an Oztag team. In his Oztag team this year, Isan Masters and Tui Lolahea.
Yeah, right.
That's what I said to him. I said, you're gonna go from the seventh best player in the Grasshoppers to about the 37th best player in your new team.
Yeah, right. Maybe it'll lead on to bigger and better things for young Louis. Maybe he'll get a contract at the Tigers.
He might be the new Robbie Farah, mate, because I know he likes to just go in and just pass the ball and not get involved in too much contact. Doesn't like to tackle either, he tells me, so... You know,
yeah.
I don't know how
he doesn't like the push and shove either.
He might be the new Jamie Soward.
Yeah, you never know.
Who knows, mate? But we might jump into the speaking of Jamie Soward, we'll jump into the NRL action, mate. There's some crackers on the weekend. The Sharks 21 beat the Panthers 20, and the Rabbitohs, the Adam Reynolds show, 13-12 winners over St George Illawarra Dragons. First time in, I think it was 50 odd years, a player's kicked three field goals in a match, let alone in the semi-final, to get them home. So, the Dragons, they fumbled and choked a little bit there at the end, and it sees South go through to next week along with the Sharks.
Yeah, that's right, mate. The old St. George bubble burst from the week before, but it was, I suppose they were in the top four most of the year, but just obviously injuries didn't help them, but it's good to see the... that game, the South Dragons game, they had a crowd of just under 50,000. So, well done to Sydney for getting on board and supporting it.
Yeah, mate, exactly right. It was a good turnout, a little bit better than the Friday night game. Be very interesting this weekend. Obviously, the league is in Melbourne on Friday night. So, how that stacks up, because obviously the AFL semi-final will be on as well, I understand. Yes. Which will be an absolute bumper just over the road, just down around the corner, really. Richmond, Collingwood, there'll be about 150,000 people at a 90,000-seat stadium.
Yeah, they will, mate. They will. It'll be great atmosphere, mate. We should last-minute flight, Friday, Arvo. What do you reckon?
Yeah, you're not going to be allowed to do that, mate. Let's not kid ourselves. but, yeah, mate... Anything really stand out for you from either of those games outside of the obvious? I mean, it's great. That's, you know, pretty much all barring one of the six games so far in the semi-finals has been an absolute belter.
Yeah, weekend that stood out. They're just two good games of footy for me. And I think the right two teams, the form two teams, went through and sets up a couple of mouthwatering games this week, mate.
It does indeed. And I guess at the end of the day, it's the top four sides that are still alive.
Yeah, that's right, mate. That's right. I think we've touched on it in a couple of the different sports. It is hard having, once you get to this time of year, having that elimination, you know, that sudden death.
Week in, week out.
Your shoulders every week.
Yeah, exactly, mate. Be interesting to see how those teams, fresh, and I use that term loosely, off the week off, shape up this week, mate. As we touched on Friday, 7:40 at Amy Park there in Melbourne. Your Storm, mate, they come up against celebrity co-host from last week, Chris Longworth's Cronulla Sharks. Mate, the dirty man himself, Will Chambers, is back in after, I think he's up to about 6 weeks of suspension this year, which isn't bad, but they've only played 25 games. That's about a quarter of the season he's missed. Mate, the Sharks in absolute disarray. Paul Gallen ruled out this afternoon. Wade Graham already out. What's that?
Officially ruled out.
Yeah, I saw that on the news just before when I got home from my tour of the wonderful suburbs of Sydney that I've been on. And Josh Dugan is named in the extended squad, but I think at this stage is a slim chance to play. I don't know that Dugan makes a huge difference, but obviously Graham for me is the biggest out of those three. You could see that they really struggled in the back end of that game last week. I think they were fortunate that Penrith played so terribly in the first half and they got out to such a lead, realistically.
Yeah, mate, that's right. I think, you know, Wade Graham, well, I know Gallen's got a lot of experience, but, geez, Wade Graham's a massive loss, but they haven't got too bad of a record when Graham and Gallen don't play, mate, and they have been.
Yeah, but have a look at who they've come up against, mate, when they haven't had Wade Graham and, you know, a few of those other factors and, you know, the form and...
Parramatta.
Yeah, exactly, mate. Semi-final football is a whole different kettle of fish. Down in Melbourne. Melbourne essentially back to full strength. I think Melbourne win this one, and I think they'll probably win it. I don't know that it'll be a massive blowout, but I wouldn't be surprised to see this something like 18-6 or 18-8.
Yeah, I'm fairly confident that my boys will get the job done and in what will hopefully be Luke Lewis's last game, mate.
It'll be Billy's last game in Brisbane, in Melbourne.
Yeah, 22-14.
Lovely, mate. And obviously Melbourne are very confident too. They've pre-booked three suites at ANZ Stadium, corporate suites I see today. So, you know, just counting their chickens. So, look, I'd love to see them fall just based on that alone because that's pretty darn cocky. speaking of cocky, the Roosters, they host the Exposers themselves, the South Sydney Rabbitohs.
Yes.
Mate, this one's an interesting one. There's plenty of controversy going on around South, so I'm going to make an active stance as sportscast. So we're only going to share positive news in terms of like on our feeds and things going forward. So if I notice anything positive coming out of any of the clubs, I'm happy to share that on. I'm a bit sick of this. The crisis merchants at the Daily Telegraph and Co. Apparently, the Daily Telegraph have sat on this story for about 3 to 4 months. They've had it, and then they've just conveniently rolled it out in the finals when Souths are running deep. So. End of the day, yeah, boys will be boys, but you know, it's obviously a silly thing to do. But at the same time, if you're a person out there and you're having a video conversation with someone and they expose themselves to you and you're not complicit in that and you don't want them to do it, there's a big red button on your phone. Press it. Don't hang around and wait for them to do it again. All right, come on. And then conveniently now she doesn't want to be interviewed and she's disappeared into smoke and mirrors. So. End of the day, it is what it is. We'll leave that at that, mate. Obviously, a belter of a game. It's one of the oldest rivalries in the NRL. The Roosters host the Rabbits. It is the last game at Allianz Stadium, a ground that's seen a lot of great memories, especially for Knights fans. 1997, Darren Albert. You know, I don't need to say too much more. But this one, mate, Latrell Mitchell is out. Sees Mitch Orbison move into the centres and Nat Butcher come onto the bench. As far as I'm aware, Souths are at full strength, so should be a cracking game, mate. Mitch Orbison's a pretty handy centre, but he's certainly going to have his work cut out for him. It would have been good to see the battle of Mitchell and Inglis on their respective edges.
Yeah, mate, it would have been worth that price price of admission, as we like to touch on, but wasn't to be. But good to see GI got off. He was a crusher tackle based on his good record.
But, mate, he didn't get off it. He was still charged.
He was charged, but yeah, he's clean record, mate. One time, it's good.
I'm gonna be honest. You know, looking at how they've graded them, Chambers' one was the most severe. Latrell's one was a little bit less severe, and GI's was even less severe than that. So I'm pretty happy with how they've graded those. To be honest, I think they've been pretty fair in that regard.
Yeah, mate, as a former lead referee, mate, I agree with you. So yeah, well, you don't want to see blokes rubbed out, but as we've said this year, if they're doing the wrong thing, then yeah. They've got to sit out and do their time. But I suppose one positive coming out of this game, mate, the hot dogs on sale on Saturday night will be on sale for $2.
Yeah, back to 1988 price, I understand. So that'll be great.
All you punters out there that are going along to the game.
Big Al will go along just for the hot dogs.
Yeah, I know. He would. He'd fill up the back of his Toyota, I reckon, and bring him home.
Yeah, he'd love it, mate. Look, this one promises to be an absolute belter. I'm going to go for, I don't think much will separate it in terms of these two teams. I think I saw a stat during the week that over all the matches, and there's 200 and something they've played, there's less than 100 points total between them. So that's pretty phenomenal sort of little stat there. I'm going to go for what is, you know, potentially a bit of an upset, and I'm going to go Souths will win this one by... For I think the absence of Latrell Mitchell will be felt, and Orbison playing a little bit out of position there. And I just think the Roosters forwards have been up for the last few weeks, and we know that they run a bit hot and cold. And then the Rabbitohs forwards, I still don't think they've hit their peak, and I expect some big games from a couple of the Burgeye this weekend.
Yeah, mate, I am going to sit on the other side of the fence, I think. Rabbitohs have obviously had a couple of tough games. Roosters, the old bodies, have enjoyed a week off. And I think they're going to get the job done, the Roosters, by 2, mate. I think they'll win 16-14.
Yeah, right. I'm going to go the Rabbits, as I said, and I'm going to go them to win 22-18. Nice. As I did touch on there, it is the final ever game at Allianz. Irrespective of what your thoughts are, it has been a solid ground for 30 years now. We'll see some interesting venues for footy next year, undoubtedly. It'll be interesting to see where the Roosters do play all their games. I'd suggest they'll play some at the SCG, and then I'm not sure what other venues, whether they might take some to Leichhardt or somewhere might be the next best option for them, I'd suggest.
Mariners Stadium, what's that called? Central Coast?
Yeah, they traditionally play one or two there, but I don't know they'll take too many, especially now they've severed their ties with the Wairangaroos. Maybe they'll play at North Sydney Oval.
Yeah, bring back the Bears.
Well, the Bears will officially be the Roosters' feeder side next year. They're disassociating themselves from Souths. And Souths will launch their own side to play at a Redfern Oval, which will be exciting.
Yeah, nice.
But, yeah, there's plenty happening in that regard and plenty we can probably talk about in the off-season. While we're on those sorts of competitions, mate, the Knights 20s, the minor premiers, they went down their second loss in 3 weeks. They lost to Penrith 30-26. So Penrith will proceed through, as we say, to the grand final, mate. I think we worked out they play the Sharks in that one.
Yeah, Cronulla, mate. They do.
Mate, Cronulla running quite deep this year. I'm pretty confident they're playing in the New South Wales Cup grand final as well, Newtown.
They are.
So, yeah, a really good year for the Sharks. And if they upset your Storm this weekend, mate, that would be a very strong... display in terms of that. So, yeah, very impressive so far. I'm trying to work out who Newtown are playing. Are they playing Penrith? No, they're playing the Bulldogs. Yeah, and a shout-out, mate, on the Newcastle front on that game. Former Newcastle Real NRL referee Drew Ultram is the pocket referee for that game. There's a few... referees from Newcastle running around on the weekend. I think might have Cameron Mitchell might be in the Jersey flag, and then or the Ron Massey Cup, and Ben Teague running the line in the Sydney Shield. So well done to those boys. Three Newcastle referees getting a start, and we've still got Nick Bichelle, who's a former Newcastle referee, also running around in the NRL. I think he's got maybe the Rabbits Roosters game this weekend. So Good to see and good luck to him for pushing his way through to another NRL Grand Final. But congrats to those boys that have been appointed to Grand Final fixtures.
Yeah, love a good referee shout out, mate.
That we do. Another little note as we'll talk about that when we get to the Newcastle Rugby League. We might move on to the Grand Finals that were at the great venue that is Number One Sports Ground. The Newcastle and Hunter Rugby League, mate, it was a cracking day of footy there. It was plenty of people around with number one and number two going off, mate.
Yeah, how was the crowd over there? Obviously, I didn't get over there.
It ebbed and flowed. It probably peaked around the Seagrey game. Windale had a huge following. It was interesting, actually. I think a few people went into the wrong ground at a couple of different times. I was over at number two at one point, and there was someone walking around with a Go Windale Go sign.
Yeah, I did see that.
So yeah, there's a few of those. But yeah, great crowd for that. There was a decent Shortland had a bit of a half decent crowd with them. Stockton had a few. The Woodbury Uni game didn't have a huge crowd. I don't know that Woodbury brought a massive number down with them. Aberglasson had a little bit of a contingent, as did Mallaboola and Swansea. The Uni guys hung around from the Ladies League tag through to B grade, but wasn't their day obviously. But look, wasn't too bad in the end. There was some excitement, some controversy, a couple of close games, a couple of blowouts as well. So we might run through them, mate. We'll start with the B-grade Ladies League tag. And Mallaboola, they continued on their fine form from the season and recorded a shutout of 2-0, 8-0 victory over Swansea, mate. And I was fortunate after the game to catch up with their co-captains, Caitlin DePater and Emma Thompson.
Here with Caitlin and Emma, the captains of Mallaboola Panthers after Grand Final win. How are we, girls?
Just excited, stoked. Just
and, can't explain how happy we are and proud of the team.
Would have been a nervous little day. Obviously, you've come up against them a couple of times this year and results
very,
have been
very
split.
Very anxious.
So to get it done and not let in a try, that's pretty impressive.
Yeah, it's all about defence, I think, and we definitely dug in deep and came up with the girls and did amazing.
Our defence is the best that we have this year.
Yeah.
That's what's got us through.
Yeah.
Done really well. Minor major premiers. Congratulations, girls. Your halfback got player of the day today, so big shout out to her as well.
Yeah.
What's the plans tonight? Big celebrations?
Oh, yeah. All weekend.
Lovely. All right, girls, I'll leave you to go enjoy it. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
So good to hear from the captains there, mate, and good to see the Mighty Panthers get a win and start my day off with one from one in the tipping.
Yeah, I'm just, I don't know how many I actually got. I don't think I got many, mate. I don't think I tipped this result.
No, you tipped Swansea, mate. You tipped East Maitland. I think you tipped Uni as well.
Uni.
Stockton.
Yeah, Uni and Stockton.
Yeah, so the only one you got right was Aberglasson, I think.
Yeah, Shortland. Yeah, well done, Shortland. But, good old Mallaboola. Good to see him with that B-grade trophy high, mate.
Yeah, exactly right, mate. And Aberglasson, they won the A-grade Ladies League tag, mate.
Yes.
18-4 over Uni to go back-to-back. I did catch up with their captain, Jess Akers, and I'll...
Here with Jess Akers, victorious in the Ladies League tag A-grade. How was that?
Oh, unreal. Best feeling. Can't believe we did it again. Awesome.
Yeah, so obviously a pretty comfortable victory in the end. 12-4, although they had you a little bit nervous at the end. They were taking the line.
Yeah, just the game jitters that everyone gets, but we dug deep for each other, and in the heat it wasn't easy, but they were playing in it too, and we just come away with the win, and we just dug deep for each other. It was unreal.
Yeah, certainly warm, as you said. You've done really well, girls, to lift the trophy today, so congratulations.
Thank you.
Big celebrations planned tonight.
Oh, absolutely. Out of this world. Bring it on. Let's do it.
Now, I've heard there was the Shane Tadd's band for any celebration. Is that correct?
Yeah, he keeps a distance. Well, he's made to keep a distance.
Yeah, for the girls then, definitely.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, congratulations.
Awesome.
And enjoy your night.
Thank you very much. Yes.
Great win there for Aberglasson. They were pretty convincing winners. They've only lost one game in two seasons, which was the major semi a couple of weeks ago to University. So not much has separated these sides. I'm pretty sure they played in the grand final last year as well. And I'm sure Aberglasson will be looking to go on for a three-peat, mate, next year.
Yeah, they will, mate. And is Jess that you spoke to, that's a relation of?
That's Mick's partner, Mick's wife.
Yeah, right. She wears strapping too?
No, that's Shane Tappy you're thinking of, mate. So
need
to get your players sorted out, mate. Get on top of it. But I will say after having a lovely chat with Jess, and she's one of the ones I did get a video with, so I'll post those up on the... up on the site later on, up on the Facebook page. Mate, Mick Akers is punching some solid overs there, I will say.
Oh, he gave us a shout-out on the Sunday?
Yeah, he did, mate. He loved it. He came along, and I know Longy had badgered him for a couple of shirts. He's had a long, you know, I picked up a couple of Aberglass and supporter shirts, and hey, they're loving the fact that we get behind them. And it's nice to have, you know, most of the clubs are pretty good. Uni were good as well, obviously, you know, just cooperating and helping out with, you know, talking to us about the games and also just, you know, supporting us when you know, with shares and likes. So we do appreciate that. And look, we'll be hoping to go into some bigger and better things with Newcastle and Hunter next year, just to, all things being well. Speaking of sides that support the show, mate, the mighty Windale Eagles, 24-16 winners. Oh, mate, it wasn't an upset. I said to you 2 weeks ago, I said, East Maitland will win the major semi comfortably, and then Windale will come back and win the grand final.
Yeah.
You laughed at me when I said I was back. Same, what's that?
Any Penny Stadium, they play at Any Penny Stadium, don't they, East Maitland?
They weren't having too much celebratory Henny Penny on Saturday. No, mate, no, they weren't. I certainly know there's some, I've been watching a bit of Facebook chat, there's some animosity between the two sides after a few comments made after the major semi-final by a few individuals from the East Maitland club. And so Windale, a few of their, I'm not sure whether it's players or supporters, have given back, and so much so that I believe there's... there's been some stuff posted online, and yeah, they're certainly dishing out as good as they're getting both sides there. So it's alive and well. We'll call it banter on Facebook. So yeah, very entertaining. But the Windale Eagles 24-16 winners over East Maitland. They controlled the game. It got a little bit tight and nervous towards the end there, especially once skipper Matt Garrett came off. Looks like he's injured his ankle as well as his hip that he already had needled up. So wishing him all the best. I see from social media that it didn't interfere too heavily with him ensuring he was an integral part of the celebrations that went on till Monday and Tuesday by the look of it.
Yeah, they love a good party out there at Windale, mate. Yeah. Well done to the boys for getting the job done.
Yeah, they do, mate. And yeah, great win for the Eagles. I did, after the game, catch up with Scotty Salter, also known as John Farnham, who officially on the show announced another retirement.
Here with Victoria's Windale props, Scotty Salter. How are you, mate?
Yeah, good, mate, after that.
Yeah, mate, probably written off by a few after a big loss 2 weeks ago. It was pretty sweet to get that win.
Definitely were, mate, but we done the same to them there, you know, in the comp, so the only team to beat them, we're here winning the grand final against them, so it's bittersweet, it's nice.
Definitely, mate, it was an absolute cracker of a game in some shocking heat out there, so much so we had to have some drink breaks out there.
Mate,
so
I don't think anyone this year has played in this heat, so yeah, I think everyone's going to get a shock today.
Added another level to the intensity of it, mate, and you boys held on for dear life at the end there. They were coming back late.
We really did, yeah. We knew that all would always be coming to the end of the game, so, but yeah, happy to get the win and happy to retire on that note, actually.
Yeah, again, hang out the boots again, yeah, mate. Yeah, yeah. I hear they're calling you John Farnham out there. So.
Yeah, mate, I've retired a few times, so. But yeah, this is it. That's what I'm done. The old body can't handle it. So,
mate. Oh, well, congratulations. A little bit of a sore note, obviously. Gecko hurt the hip again by the look of it. Hopefully that's not too serious. I'm sure he'll be looking to go around next year.
Mate, he'll be there until he dies, I reckon. So, yeah, no, he's done well. So,
oh, mate, I'll let you go win, enjoy the presentation and get the celebrations.
Too easy, mate. And thanks for the shout outs all year watching that and listening to it. It's been good. So.
No worries, mate. We'll get you on as a specialist commentator next year.
Right, mate. Too easy.
So I guess we'll just wait and see whether Scotty's retirement actually stands. The boys don't believe that it will, so wait and see how he goes there, mate. Moving on.
Go up to B grade next year?
Well, mate, it's not like that. It's based on the team list they have, so we'll wait and see. They'll be graded and then it's readjusted. Just depends on who they've got on the books. Speaking of going up to B grade, mate, Woodbury, they were absolutely clinical. The experience of the likes of Willie Paleo and the Forrest brothers showed here. Woodbury 40, University 14. And I don't know if you saw it during the week. It popped up on my social feed from a few other sources, and I didn't realise until late today that it was actually a Woodbury player. He got the whole team's names tattooed down his side.
Yeah, I did see that. That was from Woodbury.
That was one of the boys from Woodbury. So, yeah. Yeah, it's different, that's for sure. But you know, that's commitment to the cause. It looked like a few of the boys got some tattoos from Woodbury, looking at their Facebook page. So the boys do like to celebrate in a big way. They got a lot of players that are probably some elder statesmen of the Newcastle local footy, and it'll be interesting to see how whether or not they go round again. Some of the likes of your Willie Paleos, your Kevy Pictons, and these sorts of guys. Speaking of Willie Paleo, the storming, barnstorming winger, the big fella, he got across for a double and was probably felt unlucky that he didn't get a third. I think his foot clipped the line as he went to go in for his hat trick. His first two tries were in about the first 3 minutes, so he got Woodbury right out of the blocks. But comprehensive winners, mate. However, I think University, well, they'll be looking to the future. They've got a very young side, as you imagine, out there, and they've got a few boys that I certainly know will be keen to go around again next year and go one better, hopefully get off to a bit better start of the season. But, yeah, not the finish that the Seahorses / students were looking for, but the Wild Boys of Woodbury will be, I think I'd probably still be partying some of those boys. They know how to kick it on.
Mate, they do. But, yeah, Uni had a good run getting there, mate. I was up 9 wins in a row, so...
Yeah, correct.
Yeah, I think they'll be bigger and better next year, mate. But, yeah, well done to the mighty Woodbury.
Yeah, and the final one, mate, the A-grade, Shortland 36, Stockton 4. Mate, plenty of controversy. It was a big game. A few people at Stockton pretty upset after the match in regard to a few things. But I did catch up with Shortland's retiring players, James Ahoy and Steve Cook, who are stalwarts of the local competition, and had a bit of a chat with them after their big win in the A-grade decider.
Steve Cook and James Ahoy of the Shorty Devils. Boys, what a win.
Mate, unbelievable, mate. Just it's the best.
Hey, she was a bit physical out there.
Mate, it got that way, didn't it?
Yeah.
It got that way.
In the back end, it did. A few penalties went our way, and we capitalised on that. We didn't want to fall into their niggly little stuff, so we kept a cool head, and we got the cookies at the end. So.
This one certainly helped, boys. Now, the whisper is that you two boys, this is it. Going to finish on a high.
That's it, mate. That's it. I've had, first one.
First one
and last one in the same day, so, yeah, something pretty special for us, mate.
Yeah, I'm done. I've had my years now, and pretty proud of the accomplishments that I've had. So,
pretty awesome way to finish. I understand it's Shorty's first A-grade title.
Yeah.
Just go out on a high, boys.
Mate, yeah, it's just, yeah. Very, very, very special, years. Special for the club, special for us. So,
that's what we aim to do. We did it for ourselves, but also the past players before us. So 50 years is a long time to win one. So we were glad that we did it for the club and the community.
Yeah, certainly been. It's been a tough couple of years too, losing two A-grade grand finals. They finished with a win. Great stuff, boys. So big night playing tonight and on from there for a few days. I would have thought.
I think the next 5 days are going to be rough.
I don't think many wives and girlfriends will be seeing you, boys.
Mate, no, we'll say goodbye in a minute and then we'll sort it out from there, eh?
Those who are left, all right, boys. Well, enjoy the celebration. Congratulations on two solid careers in the local Newcastle and Honor Cumps, and congrats on a grand final win to finish it.
Thanks very much, mate. Thanks for your time.
So great to hear from the two boys there. Obviously, two strong players will be sorely missed going forward by Shorty, but great to see Shorty. They've lost the last two A-grade deciders. Great to see him get up in this one. And minus, there's no Tamana Tahu, and Chad Redman popped his shoulder, I believe, in the earlier parts of the exchanges, certainly before the finish of the game. So he missed the back end of the game, and it all sort of erupted with about 15 to go. There was a bit of push and shove, and then all of a sudden, you didn't really catch it if you were watching the bar TV. The camera sort of panned away, but touch came on, and there's an alleged headbutt. I understand that one of the players, I believe it was Sawani, also known as Johnny Tupo, was dismissed from the field of play for headbutting. So on the touch judge's report, so it'll be interesting to see what comes out of that. Things started to get a bit more heated after that. I think Stockton felt they were on the back end of probably a heavy penalty count. The referee in charge, Mr. Malone, is known for having a no tolerance sort of stance for thuggery, shall we say, and you know, overexertion of physical activity beyond the means of the rules. He doesn't really give much leeway, so he was quite firm with them. I don't think they took to it too well. Ended up with a couple more in the bin, and it's a bit of a confrontation between their coach. He was yelling out a few things at one point, mate, and the referee stopped the game, asked him to be removed from the playing arena, and he then continued to give the referee a bit of feedback on his performance and what he thought of it. So that'll also probably have some repercussions, I would have thought, in terms of what goes on in the future.
Yeah, mate, it's a shame I missed that. Sounds like a wonderful afternoon over there at the A-grade, mate.
I'd been back over there after the first grade and saw most of it go down. I just missed the headbutt. But, yeah, I was sitting ringside in between the two benches for my duties on the day. I was right there and heard some of the entertaining commentary that the Stockton benches were having, and with the coach dismissed, the man to step into the breach for the final minutes was none other than former Roosters and Sharks player Anthony Tupou.
All happened, mate.
So he's obviously connected to the Tupou boys at Stockton there, and was helping out, mate. There were some interesting things during the match. I saw one of the Shortland outside backs decided to try and pick a fight with Darkin Dryden at one point, which I don't know if that's the smartest option. Darkin, obviously a boxer and the brother of Kyron Dryden. Fortunately for the player involved, Darkin didn't throw any, but I certainly heard a few people from the bench after that encouraged Darkin that if bloke's going to have a crack at him, then not to hold back. It was a bit of a feisty ending. A lot of the Stockton players pretty downhearted and disappointed after the game, but a really good season from them after coming up the grades, and well done to them on their minor premiership. Well done to Shortland on their first ever premiership, 50 years of existence. So that's a big one, the Cronulla Sharks-esque effort there. And also to their halfback, Tieran Pearson, who was awarded the Player of the Year, and their fullback, Matt Redman, who got Player of the Grand Final. So well done to those guys. Cracking day all in all out there, mate. It would have been good for you if you had been able to get across there, but obviously with other commitments, mate, you weren't able to be there.
No, mate, no, but you kept me up to date with all things happening, mate, and it's been a good season, the Newcastle Hunter Rugby League, so...
It has, mate, and a big shout out to all those clubs that have sort of facilitated us, and, you know, there's a couple of people there on the day that spoke to me from other clubs, and, you know, as I said, I've got some bigger and better ideas on how we might be able to do some coverage, and a big thanks too to Paul Arendale, who looks after a lot of the social media for those guys, and Dave Wild, who runs the competition. Dave was more than accommodating when I sort of proposed to do some stuff from the sideline, and was quite flattering in his feedback on what we've been doing, mate. So it was very good, and look forward to hopefully allowing Dave's in the role again next year to do some bigger and better things. As I said, in partnership with them, because it is a good competition, and love to get some more coverage of it out there, as some of the more mainstream media channels don't really throw too much on it. It tends to just pop up in your Lakes mails and, you know, maybe your Maitland Mercurys and the likes of that, some, you know, without wanting to have a go at those, some probably, in terms of the media world, some second level publications rather than, you know, the likes of the Herald or NBN.
Yeah, mate, that's right. As you said, there's lots of good players running around, and even like myself, I didn't know a lot about it, but as the year's gone on, I've really probably gained a lot more interest and knowledge and probably respect as well for them guys, and, yeah, it's good to keep up to date with the tabs and, as you said, there's still some handy players running around down there, mate. So
that there is, mate.
More coverage.
That there is across all the grades. So yeah, looking forward to that next year. But hopefully everyone's enjoyed their silly Sunday, Mad Mondays, etc. And hopefully everyone kept their pants on in public venues. Moving right along, mate. We'll jump onto the real NRL. Thanks to our mates at the Rugby League Academy. The mighty Lakes United Seagulls, mate, they blew the Curry Bulldogs off the paddock. She was neck and neck in the first half, and I thought Lakes might have not done quite enough with the wind in the first half, but they stormed home, mate. Some really impressive performances for the Seagulls. And as I said, Lakes were runaway winners in the end, 38-16. I watched that game courtesy of the lovely coverage on Bar TV. And dulcet tones of our man Gareth Varshik did a great job. I think he had, I'm not sure, he had someone else in commentary with him whose name escapes me, but I think they had Josh Callanan doing some special comments, which was really good, obviously of the Herald. It was a really good commentary, really good match, and some good coverage. The Bar TV boys, mate, they work a million miles an hour and cover a lot of these games. And unfortunately, while we're on the Bar TV, before we get into breaking this game down, mate, I did see that they won't be covering, there won't be a live cast of the Newcastle Rugby League Grand Final this year, any of the grades, unfortunately.
Nah, they're trying to get more bums on seats, mate. They want the big stadium as full as they can. So I know the rugby, different code, but I know the rugby, Andy's pushed for that the last couple of years, and sort of all the way up, and then last minute he sort of reneged. But I suppose it's one way there, but I suppose
it's very
the prices of admission, mate.
Possibly, but The issue is, you know, like guys, you know, people that follow the Newcastle Rugby League outside of Newcastle, as a rule, people aren't going to watch it on a Monday or a Tuesday. And by the time it gets around to next weekend again, you know, it's less of a spread. I understand there's no perfect world because you can't geographically block it or anything like that. But, yeah, I guess it's an interesting one, mate. In terms of the game on the weekend, though, as I said, it was some good coverage by Bar TV and Lakes comfortable winners. I was quite impressed, mate. Cody Charles and Josh Charles were both very strong. Sean Boss as well. I think it's Cody. He's the brother that plays in the front row, mate. He made a cover tackle on an outside back who'd made a break that he had on from Curry that he had absolutely no right to make. It was Scotty Sattler-esque. And yeah, he that certainly, I felt like that was a turning point for them. Actually, it may have even been, yeah, so, and then he went down the other end a couple of minutes later and scored a try himself, so very impressive effort. Sean Boss, their captain at lock, got through a mountain of work, and mate, I've got to say, my favourite watching Lakes go around this year is the bloke by the name of Daniel Peck. He normally wears the number 14 jersey. He's probably smaller than you. He plays hooker and just gets in the middle and just chirps and chirps and chirps at people. Curry ended up with a couple in the bin late, including one that threw the football at him because he just got right under their skin. And I love to see it, mate. As you know, you've seen me play footy. I like to have a chat while I'm out there and chirp at some people. So I'm a big fan of that. So it's been very entertaining to watch that and watch him. He doesn't take a backward step. He puts shots on. He defends in the middle. And, mate, he looks like he'd be lucky to be 60 kilos ringing wet.
Yeah, nice, mate. Good to see some big guys like myself running around on the field, mate, putting blokes on their bums.
Yeah, I'd say he's probably got a better rig than you, but, you know, that's just a punt.
That's debatable.
Yeah, well, mate, yeah. I don't know that it is, but anyway, I'll let you have that one. So obviously, Lake's quite comfortable winners there. Disappointing. Curry, you know, a great run. They'd sort of, you know, come from... You know, they've been playing elimination footy every week for about 4 or 5 weeks since that win over Maitland and before the finals and beat Maitland and then came through, knocked off Central. It would have been a fairy tale to get there. They couldn't quite do it, but they'll be a better side for it. Number of players out injured, but, yeah, they certainly did a really strong job on the weekend. The usual suspects, you know, your Jade Porters and Tommy McKenzie's were strong for them. The Moree connection out there is nice and strong. I've got a few of the boys from Moree and a couple others with Moree connections, and hopefully they can keep them together because they're a real core of that unit. But this weekend, mate, it is the big dance on Sunday. All the games are at McDonald Jones Stadium. We'll start with the ladies' league tag, mate. First off the rank, we've got Wests. They will they went through first. They will play Souths, I believe, in this one. An interesting result. A lot of people expected to see the Central girls there after they finished minor premiers and only lost one game during the year, but they've unfortunately gone out the back door, and West, who were second, play South, who were third. Promises to be a cracker, mate. I'm going to go with the West girls, coached by the great man Chris Stevens, to get it done against South in the early game, 9:40 kickoff. So, look, as you said, entry's not necessarily cheap this weekend, but there's plenty of football action. 5 games with a 9:40 kickoff through to a 3:30 for first grade. But plenty of action there, plenty of clubs playing. Who do you like here, mate, between West and South?
Well, hopefully I can have a better run than what I did last week, mate. So
the pressure's on, mate.
Stick with the Lions.
The Lioness.
Lovely.
Righto, so South to win there. We move on after that. We've got the under-19s, which sees, again, West. They've only got 2 appearances, but they come against Maitland. Maitland's only side through to the grand final. Good to see 6 of the 8 clubs are represented on grand final day, mate, which is nice to see. This is first versus second. West only lost 1 game in the under-19s all season, mate, which is... I understand. I'm just confirming that. Sorry. Right. It does look like they may have... that's correct. So they only lost 1 game all season, which was to Maitland about 5 weeks ago. But yeah, it was one and two on the table, mate. West were my premiers by 6 points. I'm going to go with West to get it done here again and take away two bits of silverware. And what's probably been a little bit of a disappointing season for the perennial powerhouse of Newcastle Rugby League. No senior men's teams in the grand finals.
Yeah, it would be, but obviously, a few quotes I've seen from our great friend of the show, Mr. Lantry, said that yeah, they're very much building, and they've obviously blooded a few of these younger guys this year in first grade, and I think they're looking good, because obviously traditionally they've probably gone out of like their junior system to pinch players, and I think it's good to see them coming through, mate, and I think a bright future over there at West, and I'm going to stick with them, mate. I think they'll get it done in a tight one.
Yeah, lovely, mate. So that sees that one. Then we go through to the open grade, mate, also known as third grade or colloquially Gumby Cup. It sees South come up against the Macquarie Scorpions. This one promises to be a cracker, mate. Macquarie scraped home against Lakes with a late try last week, I understand. So South have had the week off and are looking strong. That's a 12:20 kickoff for the open grade, mate. Yeah, South were minor premiers. Macquarie have come from fifth, so done a really good job there. Obviously, as we talk about, it's hard to play elimination footy week in, week out.
It is very hard, mate, but everyone loves a fairy tale. And with that, I am going to stick with Macquarie, mate, the giant killers, to get the job done over the minor premiers.
Yeah, right, to continue their run. Look, mate, there's plenty of experience in the South side, mate. Like Jared Rodimer, who's played first grade in the past, Reece Hayne, Dwayne Sampson, Brennan Rodimer, all names that have been wandering around there at South for a number of years. Their coach, Steve Young, will have them absolutely fired up for this one. And look, I expect South to come out and I think they'll probably end up being comfortable winners. I'm going to say this one might finish up something like 24-10, 24-14, something like that. Maybe with a late try to Macquarie to make the try line a little bit, the scoreline a little bit more respectable. But yeah, I certainly expect the Lions to run away winners there in the second of their three grand finals, the best representation of anyone there. Reserve grade, mate, it sees again the Scorpions on show. They will come up against Central Newcastle in their only side. Great to see the Central boys getting through. I believe our mate Jared Forbes, as one of his, you know, 7 million clubs that he supports, he's supporting the Central boys. One of his mates, Corey Baker's, steering the Butcher boys around there, mate. Who do you like here? Obviously, Macquarie, coached by the great Steve Kidd, who's a well-known name, and there'll be a name in this side that you'll know, mate. Dylan Rowney in the centre's named for Macquarie. And also Noel Tupou, who's a seasoned campaigner in the back row. Nathan Hinton, a former first grader in the halves. Adam Swadling, he's played for Macquarie first grade plenty of times. Ryan Pywell, a former Souths player as well. So they've got plenty there. And then, yeah, as I said, plenty of experience also on the other side. The likes of Corey Baker, Jake Davis, Liam Boney running around. And another name that you'll know, mate, Bryce Madden on the bench for Central.
Yeah, I was going to say, is Bryce having a run around? I saw him, he was in watching his old, one of his former clubs, the Hamilton Hawks, last week, mate.
He's a bustling prop in the league now, mate.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. So, yeah.
This promises to be a crack. I didn't know Dylan Rowney was still running around in the league circle.
Yeah, I think he's made a couple of reappearances in reserve grade and qualified himself. This is first versus second. Both sides, I understand, had four losses for the season. The competition was pretty even this year across the top five sides, so they've both done well. Central have had the week off, and yeah, certainly been. Macquarie had a win over South last week. Central did beat Macquarie pretty convincingly 2 weeks ago to get through to the grand final, so I expect them to back that up again. They won 34-10 last time. I think it'll be a little bit closer, but I'm going to go Central 28, Macquarie 14.
Yeah, I'm going to stick with the club champions, mate, to add a little bit more silverware to their trophy cabinet for the year. I think they'll get it done 32-6.
Big winners there. And obviously the final match, mate, the big match at 3:30. It is the South Newcastle Lions, coached by Ben Cross, hosting the Lakes United Seagulls, coached by Newcastle Rugby League Coach of the Year, Todd Edwards.
Fairy tale, man.
Yes, well, mate, he hasn't got the best numbers in grand finals. He did talk about that during the week. He said it doesn't bother him too much. But, they've made a bit of a reshuffle with their team this week. I see Vitali, also known as Junior Rokika, moved back into the back row. Be interesting to see if that's where they end up starting. But outside of that, they're pretty similar across the park in terms of what they've got. I was very impressed a fortnight ago by Ryan Glanville. He was quite strong at 5'8", likes to take the ball to the line. I see Daniel Martina, another name you'll know, mate, returns this week into the starting lineup for South Newcastle. But South Newcastle with a lot of attacking weapons with Lachlan Wormsley, Harry Van Dardle, another ex-rugby player in Jason Keelan. This will be a belter, I think.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a tight old affair, mate. Not tight as in like 4-0 or something, but I think it'll be, try for try. Somewhere in the 20s, I reckon. I reckon I'm going to stick with Lakes to get it done, the minor premiers. But, yeah, I think it'll be something like 28-24 or something like that.
Yeah, right. Well, they've clashed three times this year. Souths do have the wood on them. They won 2 weeks ago, obviously 20-12 to go through. They won in round 8, 26-6. Lakes did beat them in the final round of the year to claim the minor premiership, 36-22. Mate, look, I'm looking forward to seeing how this one goes round. And, mate, there's some great matchups there. As they showed 2 weeks ago, there's not that much that separates them. You know, it's all going to be about who can complete, who can get to their game plan and execute the best. And look, I don't doubt that both coaches will have some tricks up their sleeves on grand final day as their selections and moving a few players around and those sorts of things. It'll be interesting to see if Daniel Peck, similar to this weekend, starts. But look, I'm going to go with Lakes to get home in a close one. I'm looking for, I think Daniel Peck will be close to the best on ground for them. But the man that will take out the best on ground in Lakes 24-22 win will be Josh Charles, but I think Tawa Mata'afa, who's recently signed with the Bulldogs, will be the golden man for the Seagulls with a late wide conversion to win the game. So that's my tip for the game, mate. So both on Lakes, so Souths are, mate, that'll be $1 favourites based on that.
And who's got the big whistle, mate?
Mate, I was talking to our man Louis, Louis McGeo last night about this, and I thought Tom Taylor would have been a shoo-in, but it looks like Louis Matheson has been elevated after doing, I believe he did reserve grade last week. Quite a young team overall, mate. I think looking at the appointments, Louis's only in his early 20s as far as I'm aware. Dylan Clark's probably the eldest match official there, one of the touch judges at about, I'm going to say Dylan's about 24, 25. Nathan Everly, one of the other touch judges, only about 19 or 20. And Kurt Grogan and Cam Smith, who are the in-goal / assistant referees, are similar age brackets. So be interesting to see how they handle the occasion. And look, neither of these sides are really dirty sides, so I don't think there's too much to worry about there. But if emotion does get the better of some of these players, it'll be very interesting to see how these young referees, I think Louis in his first year of first grade, none of the other guys have officiated a first grade match in the centre, as far as I'm aware. So it'll certainly be very interesting to see how that pans out.
Well, mate, I think it's going to be a good day of footy, mate. I don't think... Are you going down?
No, I won't be, unfortunately. Yeah, mate, juggling of three jobs. Sorry, mate?
Doing all your research for next week's pod.
Yeah, something like that. I was going to live stream it, but that went out the window. Thanks for that, Matt Harris. Anyway, moving along. Speaking of Matt's, mate, one last thing while we're on the real NRL. Matt Lantry has been appointed the Newcastle Rebels coach. It hasn't been the done thing in recent years to double up, but he will be coaching the Newcastle Rebels and Wests. He's a man with plenty of experience. He's coaching rugby league 24/7 with the Rugby League Academy. So, look, I think he's a good coach. I think he does quite well. A lot of people point out that, Wests didn't even make the finals this year. Look, it was literally a bee's dick that they missed out by. There was nothing in between any of these teams. So at the end of the day, I think he has the most coaching ability currently of the coaches. He knows the game inside and out, and I think he'd be a great coach for the representative program going forward.
Yeah, well, mate, they tend to get the appointments right at that level too, and I think it's a step in the right direction. And I think, as Matt, I think he was quoted, he wants to instill a bit more pride back in the jersey, mate, which is similar to what Big Stu Pinkerton was doing with the rugby
yep.
the last couple of years. So yeah, it's good to see, and good luck to Matt.
Yeah, definitely, mate. Great thing is, hopefully, he'll be able to get us in the door of the interviewing some of the rep players as we go, mate. Get a bit of publicity for him next year. That'd be great. Yeah, exactly. Moving right along, mate, because as usual, our waffling has gone well beyond where it needs to. Newcastle rep cricket. There was obviously a trial on the weekend. I see, I think Adrian Chad got some runs. A couple of other players obviously went down to Manly out there. But, yeah, good to see a few players getting some runs in a rep trial.
Yeah, mate, it was not the usual suspects like our man.
No, I understand he yeah, well, let's just put it this way. If he had got any less, he would have been in negative figures.
Yeah, but no, old Waratah all-rounder Johnsy Durahine got 1 for 28 from his 8 overs.
Yep.
And also got an unbeaten 69 off 59 rocks, mate.
Mate, good day out for the all-rounders. Good to see them performing, mate.
It is, mate, it is, because obviously that, you know, the proper stuff's just around the corner, so they're obviously, you know, they're all keen yep. and eager to make the selectors put their name on the team list, mate, for that first game.
Yeah, exactly right, mate. That is the case. Speaking of rep fixtures, mate, we've got... obviously we touched on it a few weeks ago. The Lake Mac Attack have been announced. They will host the Newcastle Blasters. We believe it's going to be at the new Pastorfield Sports Complex, which is out there at Cameron Park in about a fortnight's time as the opening round of the New South Wales Country Regional Bash. They named officially the captains and coaches of the side. So Lake Mac Attack will be coached by Mark Littlewood and Tim Cox. Plenty of cricketing experience there with Splinter running the show, and Adrian Chad. One of the co-Newcastle players of the year last year will captain the Lake Mac Attack. And as I said, they'll play the Newcastle Blasters, and they're coached by Brad Bannister and Shane Burley. Plenty of cricketing experience there, mate. Led by the captain by the other co-Newcastle player of the year last year, Nathan Price.
Yeah, they can't be split, mate.
No, they cannot, mate.
They can't be split, so they just play them against each other.
Yeah, exactly right, mate. So no, that'll be interesting to see. And I believe teams will be named after next week's round of fixtures. So I'm not sure exactly how they're splitting the teams, whether it'll be, you know, six clubs in one and six clubs in the other, or what the story might be. But we'll see that in a couple of weeks' time, and we'll have a look at the cricket next week, mate, leading into the season.
Yeah, I'm very much looking forward to it, mate.
Lovely, mate. I bet you are. I hear you're going to be a late-season recruit for the Walls End Tigers. Is that right?
Yeah, I don't know, mate. I'm still undecided, but
I've got to get
back on the Jets bandwagon, mate. We're first home game, 3rd of November.
Yeah, yeah, mate. Well, there's plenty of time before that, mate. There's a whole month of cricket. But anyway, speaking of the Jets, mate, we will roll into them. We'll just touch. They've got a couple of trial games upcoming. They did have a closed trial the other night against Sydney, I think, when we were recording the pod last week. This week they take on Edgeworth at 12 o'clock at Jack McLaughlin Oval there. So if you're around and about, get down there. A good opportunity to see a few of the Jets players and see what's going on. And then next week, the 29th, they host the Western Sydney Wanderers up at Maitland Sports Ground again at 12 midday. A little bit of an earlier kickoff for that one, obviously, or for both of them, but that one predominantly to avoid a clash with the AFL Grand Final. So you be getting to either of those, mate?
Yeah, I'll be trying to get to the one up at Maitland next week, mate.
Yeah, I've already got my tickets, mate. Myself and the better half will be up there, so...
Yeah, nice. They'll be rocking their new kits by then, I reckon, mate.
Yeah, you'll need to get in early so that you can so you get a grandstand seat, mate. That's for sure. Yeah. I think they're selling out fast. They got about 3,000 there last time, and I'd expect a similar crowd this time around. As you did touch on, they did release their new kits today. Their home kit is a predominantly blue one. A few comments around those. The first away kit is a white one with a gold honeycomb pattern and gold trim. And the third or alternate away kit is black. So a few comments, mate. I really like the classic blue. It looks really nice. They've got some interesting collar lines on the jerseys. A lot of people are quite big fans of the white. I don't like it. It looks like a beehive. It's got a gold honeycomb pattern on it. I don't mind the black, but considering they play through summer, it's going to be bloody hot. And I can't think who the lovely specimen was that was modelling it, but it made them look pretty thick through, that's for sure.
Yeah, no, I think they've come up well, mate, and I think...
Oh, and of course, the lime green goalkeeper's kit, mate, you'll be getting Saxon another one of those for sure.
Saxon will be rocking the one from this year, mate. He said he doesn't need a new one this year.
I don't believe you that he said that. Do you want me to ask him?
Yeah, you can, mate. You can record it if you want and put it up on the website for all to listen to.
Mate, if you don't give it to him, he might red card you around the lounge room. But, mate, what were your thoughts on the kits?
I think they're they look pretty sharp. The first probably word that come into my head when I saw them, and yeah, I'm probably opposite to you. I don't mind the look of the white kit. The black, from the black's probably the one that doesn't do a lot for me, just because I don't think they really will wear it that much.
That's a bit like a gold one, mate.
The blue looks like that's the one they're mainly going to be in, and I think it's
a slight
alteration of last year.
They'll only wear it for half their games, mate. So. Less than half, because I only wear it at home.
Yeah, well, it'll be good, mate, because I'll be in it, so...
Yeah, mate, you're splurging. I like that. Get around it. Laurie will be happy to hear that, mate. And I'm getting one for my other half, so I'm gonna run with my last year's one for this year.
Get the Hoff's number on the back.
What, his phone number, or... Anyway, while we're on the soccer, mate, obviously, one of the supporters of the show, Primex Sports Tours, doing a lot at the moment in terms of organising some away tours from round two on. Unfortunately, not for round one for the Wellington Phoenix game, but some packages for the Adelaide game, and then there'll be more coming up during the year. And look, if you've got any travel requirements, get in touch with them in terms of any sporting events, especially if it is the A-League, but anything in it at all, they can facilitate, and doing some pretty decent prices. I've booked on with them to go down to Adelaide, and there's a few of the other boys going down as well, so looking forward to that.
Get out and support them. They're doing a wonderful job out there, and I know they.
You'll be sneaking in for one.
Looking forward to the season, like me, mate.
You'll be sneaking in for an away trip, mate. At some point, or hoping to.
Yeah, I'll book some accommodation down at Gosford, mate. Me and you say.
Yeah, righto. And while we're on it, mate, obviously a new signing announced in the last couple of days. The Avalon striker, Kane Shepherd. So he'll be a good addition. He's been a pretty handy goal poach for them, both in the NPL and the FFA Cup, mate.
An English-born player, mate, I believe.
Yeah, correct. So pretty handy, but doesn't count as
they're going to fit them all, mate. They've got players coming out of everywhere.
Oh, yeah, that's true, mate. Speaking of signing news, mate, our enemies down the road, the Coast Scum, the Mariners, they've made some big moves today. Socceroo Tommy Orr and former Melbourne City star Ross McCormack. Ross McCormack on a loan, Tommy Orr's come across on contract, so certainly add some spice to the derbies, mate.
It will, mate, it will, and it'll finally give someone a chance. Tommy Orr will be lobbing those balls for Usain, mate.
I don't expect to see Usain playing anytime soon, mate, but...
back four is going to clobber them, mate. Last year, we'll do it again this year.
We'll wait and see, mate. You're getting carried away, like usual. You've gone off early, that's how you end up with four kids. Quickly, before, while we're wrapping up the soccer, mate, the two FFA Cup matches overnight, Sydney and Western Sydney both went through. Sydney by the skin of their teeth in extra time, but they'll advance to the semi-finals, and there's two games remaining, and only one A-League club in out of those four to go for next weekend's game. So I'd love to see Adelaide get upset by APL Leichhardt, and then you'd have three New South Wales semi-finalists. I mean, it's not the Jets, but that'll do me. At least I can get to a game that way.
Busy schedule allows you to get there. So.
Wow, mate, I have to flex it to fit and, you know, beg for some time away. But anyway, moving right along, mate, because we're getting well long in the tooth for what was supposed to be an express or short show. Newcastle and Hunter Rugby Union Grand Finals, mate, on the weekend. The fourth grade, I believe you were up there on Friday night and checked that out.
It was, mate. It was a cracking finish. It was a very physical game through the middle.
And Maitland got home against Merriweather.
Yeah, charge down try, 40 metres out. Oh, sorry, charge down kick. And Maitland raced 40 metres and scored the try to win by 4-19-15.
Well done. And former first grade superstar and Anderson medal winner Adam Perkins, best on ground, I understand.
He was, mate. Beautiful. He was a standout. Gareth Ernst was good for the Greens, but unfortunately got charged down.
That happens, so, mate.
Didn't get the chockies, mate, and Beaches didn't get the wooden spoon, I believe.
Too. Yeah, there's some allegations of some ring-ins and things there, but we'll leave that as it is, mate. Move right along. As I said, we're getting very long in the tooth. Onto the divisional rugby, mate, and a big upset there. Musselbrook continued their giant killing form, knocking off Waratah. They led 5-0 at halftime and got away 11-7 winners in a very warm encounter in the early hours of Saturday. So, well done to the Heelers there. They've done well. They came from fourth, I believe, so elimination footy all the way. And interestingly enough, as you look across the four games, only in first grade did the team that had the week off salute. So that was quite interesting. Moving on, the P3s, mate, Hamilton again, 11-7 winners. Same score in both games there. 6-0 lead at halftime, and they ran away winners. Billy Clay from Hamilton, the number 10, a fairly seasoned player, was named the best on ground and managed to catch up with him briefly after the game.
Here we are with Billy Clay and Tex from Hamilton Hawks, third grade major premiers. How are you, boys?
Oh, so excited, mate. It's unbelievable. It's still sinking in, really.
Hey, quick one on you, Tex, mate. Good little story. You've come over from the US this year, first year over here, and you've won a title. How's Hamilton been, and how's it been in the grand final here?
Oh, man, I couldn't have found a better team. Socially and competitively, they really took me under their wing. And, show me what it's like. And, just living the dream over here.
Awesome, mate. A bit of a nail-biter, boys. Yeah, you're up with 6-0 at half-time. Got a try, open that gap up. They scored late. Yeah. Last minute, had to defend out. Did the job. 11-7 winners. Yeah. How were the nerves in those last couple minutes?
Mate, it was intense. I don't think we had a water break for about 10 minutes. I was busting lungs. The boys just really dug deep. They really wanted it. We showed today because we got the chocolates.
Yeah, mate. Well done. And congrats to you, Billy, on best on ground, mate. You have the game ball here in nice glass case.
So. Up in a trophy cabinet.
Well done, boys. Great start of the day for Hamilton. Hopefully a couple more for you guys. I'm sure that's the plan. And some big celebrations into the night.
I'm just pissed.
Mate, just make sure you keep Mick Mercer, keep an eye on him, all right?
Yeah, Billy there, joined by Tex, as he's known, one of the Hawks third graders who's come across from Texas, as the name suggests, and had a season there. So great to see the Hamilton boys start the day off with a win there. Mate, they've got they're a pretty deep club at the moment, Hamilton, in terms of the numbers on the ground and the experience in that third grade side.
Yeah, they do, mate. They do. And, obviously, when you've got Paul Dan, the falsely accused player, mate. He got off and played the game and got depth coming out everywhere, mate.
That they do, mate. And saw him in all three premier grades on the weekend. In the second grade, unfortunately, they weren't strong enough. They were trailed 20-14 at halftime to Merriweather and eventually went down 44-28. Merriweather running away with that one with a clinical effort in the second half. Again, in some pretty oppressive heat out there. A little bit of controversy to end the game. Merriweather ended up finished the game with 12 players on the field with two in the sin bin. And then after the siren sounded, there was a red card for striking, I believe.
Yeah, an elbow to the head.
An elbow, right. Yeah, there we go. On the touch judge's report, the illustrious Mr. Jared Lynch, I believe.
It certainly was.
Those people with flags, they're dobbers, aren't they?
Super dobbers there.
Yeah, so we managed to, after the game, catch up with Will Frost of Merriweather.
Here with Merriweather Carlton, Premier 2's winning captain, Will Frost. How are you, mate?
Mate, yeah, pretty special win, I think third in the three in a row for Merriweather, so pretty special to dominate that 2's comp for a couple of years.
Yeah, they put it to you a couple of weeks ago, mate, and made you come the hard way, so...
Absolutely, maybe it makes it a little bit more special going the ugly way, so I think we did it last year from 4th. We were minor this year, but lost that first one and made it that extra bit special, so yeah, good feeling.
Yeah, mate, you knew coming up against Hamilton it wasn't going to be an easy one. You guys came out of the gates pretty hard and set the pace against a fairly experienced side.
Absolutely, mate. It's credit to them. They've got three teams in the GF and they're a special club, but in saying that, our first and seconds are unbelievable. So, yeah, credit to Hemo, but it shows that we're going to do something pretty special too at Merriweather. So.
Yeah, definitely, mate. Two teams in. Unfortunately, first didn't get the win, but you guys got the win. So absolutely. I'll leave you go and enjoy it and go and paint Townsend green, mate.
Thanks a lot, mate. Thank you.
And there he was, Will Frost. It was interesting, mate, talking with a couple of the Hamilton boys. It was obviously a little bit disappointing, a couple of blokes that we know reasonably well. You know, they're starting to get to the end of their career and whether or not they go around again, the likes of Rowan Kelly, etc. It's disappointing probably for them that they didn't get the win, but Merriweather outplayed them. It was very interesting talking to our mate Mick Mercer, mate, the breakaway. He played in third grade and got the win and then played second grade and and lost. He said he was a bit sort of mixed emotions would be an understatement, I think.
Yeah, it is. It's tough. That's where you get all three and then one don't get up. But, mate, some clubs don't get any. So
lots of clubs didn't get any this year.
It's a credit to, yeah, I suppose, how good Hamilton are, but Merriweather were the minor premiers. So, you know, they've been pretty good competitors all year. And, they were just a better team, mate.
That they have. So, and I think Will touched on it either in the interview or off camera. He certainly thought the fact that they had to play that extra week, that smartened them up a little bit and probably helped them in the long run. And it quite often does, especially in the lower grades where the players, you know, aren't necessarily at that same level of preparation and professionalism. Certainly having to play every week versus having a week off where you sort of just cruise along can make a big difference. However, the week off did not affect the runaway minor premiers in Premier One. The Hamilton Hawks, they led 10-5 at half time. They got away 20-12 winners. Tries to Geraint Weaver and Dane Sherritt. They just outclassed them. And fortunately, the game wasn't ruined by anyone throwing out lots of yellow cards or red cards.
No, mate, it wasn't. They really starved them of the ball. And they come into their own, especially that second half. That 10-minute mark in the second half. Maitland, you know, they made a lot of errors, but they really starved him of the ball and couldn't really count. It was probably, maybe four or five times, if that, in the whole 80 minutes they actually got in that, red zone, the 22 zone of Hamilton. I suppose their own worst enemy, but I suppose that's just what a good team Hamilton are.
Yeah, mate, a bit of a Bubba Coleman masterclass, I think, and you could tell late there sitting on the sideline, well, mate, I'm just trying to throw in some reserves and a few others, and try a few things just in the hope that something would stick. But like even just that, some of those inside balls and that would normally stick, and just wasn't their day, I don't think. And as you say, Hamilton outclassed them, a great display from Hamilton as a unit. Tom Coop was awarded the John Hipwell Medal. A lot of people question that one. I'm not sure, we talked about it off air, who awards that, but I think Kirisomi Lalala was probably my best from seeing what I did of the game and then going back and watching the replay. Well done to Tom on his John Hipwell Medal. And while we're on the grand final teams, well done to Carl Manu. I believe that's back-to-back Anderson medals for two different clubs. And I believe the last person to win back-to-back Anderson medals may have been the one and only Steve Merrick.
It was, mate. It was. And the one before that was...
Cyril Burke?
Was.
Only the three, mate. Yeah, I've done my research. So, well done to Hamilton. Two out of three grand finals. A very strong effort. Nice to see three different clubs win across the four grades. And good to see one of the sort of less usual suspects, I guess, in Musselbrook getting a premiership. I think, Hamilton may have a couple of those players that don't carry on. And Maitland, look, they're building. I think over the next year or two, that they'll certainly be amongst the front runners again. But you just never know what happens. It's a funny old competition, the Newcastle and Hunter Rugby Union.
Yeah, the grapevine's certainly gone into overdrive, mate, as far as player movements and stuff.
But yeah, I'm hearing a whisper that I did see some allegations on Facebook that Willie Say is going to Singleton and he's trying to complete his jersey collection.
Yeah, I did see him on a little trip on Mirror of the Carlton's Silly Sunday, mate.
Yeah, I believe he did appear at the Burwood Hotel, yeah. Well, that's the allegation, but... there's a few rumours I'm hearing tossed around. I'm hearing a whisper that one Adrian Delore might be heading up the valley as well, mate.
Yes, I did hear that on Saturday night too, mate.
Speaking of that, mate, speaking of Saturday night and rumours, there's a few people, few people that fans of the show, you might call them, sending in some photos of one referee at one winning Premier Rugby team's after-match venue.
Yeah, the Sunnyside, mate, called in for a drink on the way home.
Couple of lemonades.
Yeah, mate, that's right. I normally call in at the winning team for a drink and...
Probably
fortunate. After we went to the Mary Ellen, mate.
Probably fortunate that it was Hamilton. You didn't have to drive all the way to Marcella, mate. You might have to stay at my house.
Yeah, I'm sure Davo would have picked me up, mate, and taken me up there with him.
Yeah, they would have, mate. They could probably fit you in the trophy. moving right along, mate, and we'll move on to the NRC action. And look, mate, the Country Eagles, they didn't have a great night on Saturday night. Went down out there in Mudgee, your favourite field in the world, 62-7 to the Melbourne Rising. Absolutely outclassed, but they did manage to turn around for last night's game and get up against the Sydney Rays. Jake Gordon from Randwick was absolutely lightning it in the number 9 jersey and led the Country Eagles to a 33-19 win over the Sydney Rays in the City Country Derby. Mate, it was an absolute cracker. Louis and I were there. There wasn't much of a crowd, unfortunately, but mate, $10 entry and a number of wallabies on display. You'd be almost mad not to head out there, mate.
Newcastle 100 grand final, mate.
Oh, well, mate, it was free for both of us to get in. I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, well, that's right. We had to be there, mate.
Exactly right. So, yeah, look, mate, I was quite impressed by a number of the players there. There's some awesome stuff. Like they were throwing the ball around. It's one thing I like in the NRC. It's, you know, it's a fairly attacking style sort of rugby, mate. There was Tolu Latu ran for about 25, 30 metres for a try, and another gentleman whose name is escaping me at the moment. I'm just trying to see if I can bring up the team list. I've only got the New South Wales Country one in front of me. But, yeah, one of the bench props, I think he was, from the Sydney Rays, a bench front rower anyway. Mate, he was absolutely electric. He was stepping people, throwing offloads. It was all happening. I really want to know his name now. It's frustrating me, mate. So let me see if I can find it. There's the team list somewhere here.
It's really highlight packages, mate.
Yeah, there is. If you jump on the Rays Facebook page, they've got some highlight packages of that and the and a few others. But no, I can't see the team name there. But he was a big Islander, and he had some pace for a big unit, mate. It was quite impressive. So well done to the Eagles on breaking their duck. It got them off the bottom of the ladder. Unfortunately, the two New South Wales teams do occupy the cellar currently in 7th and 8th place, and we'll certainly need to turn things around. We're 3 rounds of 7 gone, and they'll need to pick up their act. I think you probably need to win at least 4 of your 7 to get through to the final, so Sydney can't drop another game, and the Eagles probably don't want to drop another game, but they head up to Armidale this weekend, mate. Sunday afternoon, they host the Canberra Vikings at UNE Field. The Vikings are sitting pretty there, 2 from 3. I think they're sitting about 3rd on the ladder. Certainly it will be a big effort for the Eagles to overcome them, especially being their 3rd game in 9 days.
Who's top, mate?
I believe Fiji Ndrua.
Yeah, nice.
They have been absolutely flying. I'll confirm that, mate. Queensland Country, Fiji and Drua did lose on the weekend. That's right, in their first away game. So Queensland Country knocked off Fiji and Drua on the weekend. So, look, at the moment, the Country Eagles only sit 4 points out of second. So there's only 4 points separating. So 1 win separating 2nd and 7th. So, look, they can certainly come back from here, but the Sydney Rays are going to have their work cut out for them. They haven't managed to get a bonus point as of yet. I would have thought, actually, that the Eagles qualified for a bonus point last night, so that might be inaccurate, that ladder that I'm looking at. I would have thought 33 points, and they scored 4 tries. I would have thought they scored 5 tries. So,
getting any more games, mate? You're going to fill us in with some more stories from Louis?
What do you mean, mate?
You're going to be a spectator at any more games with your work commitments coming up?
I'm not sure, mate. I'll be in Melbourne next week, so I won't be getting any games then. And just depends because they're on the weekend. Yeah, mate. There's no game during the week, though, is there? So,
yeah, mate.
Might have to get you to pull your finger out and get to some games.
I will now. I've got no commitments, mate.
Apart from 4 kids and a wife.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I won't mention to Erica that you said you got no commitments.
Yeah.
Speaking of, mate. Yeah. Was that the first time this year she's been out to the rugby? On Saturday, yes, great to see her there at the grand final with all the gang.
Yeah, she came out for the free food and the free piss. Not that she took advantage of it. But
she was probably worried if she had a drink, you would have knocked her up again.
Yeah, that could have happened, but it didn't. So, shout out to Erica for turning up. And, Eadsy. He really fell over when he saw her there.
Yeah, That's right. His age, you got to be careful for. He might break a hip. Moving right along, mate, we might wrap up now. We'll jump into the man of the week, brought to us by Matt's Mowing and Maintenance. Three nominees this week, mate. Two from the world of Newcastle Hunter Rugby League and one from Newcastle Hunter Rugby Union. So the nominees this week are Josh Brett from the Windale Eagles, their absolute workaholic lock and captain, who was the absolute breakout performer of the grand final. He's been an absolute gun for him this year, racked up 200 games during the year, so he's up there. The other one, Matt Redman, who was man of the match, brother of Chad, man of the match, the fullback from the Shortland Devils in the A-grade. And finally, from the rugby union world, Kirisome Laulala from the Hamilton Hawks, mate. He was absolutely electric. I think they call him Razor. Absolutely electric. And, yeah, played really well for the Hawks. Was unlucky to miss out on the Hipwell medal. Unfortunately for him, he's only managed to come runner-up in this week's Matt's Mowing and Maintenance Man of the Week. And the winner this week... I think he was a comfortable winner in probably the closest of the men's games on Newcastle and Hunter Grand Final Day was Josh Brett of the Windale Eagles. So I'm sure Matty Gerrick and co will make sure to tag him in. He's earned himself up to an hour of free yard or garden or lawn maintenance. So well done to Josh, mate. Well done to all the Grand Final winners from the weekend. And good luck to all the sides in the Newcastle Rugby League Grand Finals this weekend. And I don't know what we're going to talk about after this week, mate. It's going to be a bit dry on. We'll be on to the cricket. We might have to go to every 2 weeks. We might have some alternate week podcasts or something. We'll get some other people in talking about a few other things until the Jets start.
Yeah, well, that's right. The season preview of the cricket next week, mate. I'll be looking forward to that. But
yeah, I'm sure you'll be across all the player movements and signings.
We are very light on, mate.
I thought we're light on this week. I thought we'll
pop up, mate.
I thought we're light on this week and we're going to be an hour and a half in total, so... yeah, excellent work, mate. Thanks again for coming on board, and I'll leave you to go and finish off. You'll no doubt have another one walking in the door, if not long ago, from his school disco antics. So I'll leave you to it, and I'll catch you next week, mate. Enjoy having a weekend off.
Yeah, mate, I will, and I'll catch you next week on the show, mate.
Sounds good. Thanks, everyone, for tuning in. Make sure to jump onto our social media channels and... obviously, to support our supporters and sponsors, so Matt's Mowing and Maintenance, the Rugby League Academy, what else have we got? Air Relax Australia. We'll have some stuff from Troy in regards to his Polish side next week. That'll bolster the show. And Primax Sports Tours as well. And obviously, our podcast friends, Crossbar Capers. There'll be another one to come soon, Football Alive, we've affiliated ourselves with as well, which is going to be a new soccer podcast covering off in the A-League. And this week in league for all your NRL action as well. Make sure to check all those guys out. And thanks again. Thanks, J-Lo. And we'll catch you all next week.
See you guys.